Hey, everybody. My name is Kenny. I'm an addict.
Amen.
I'm grateful to be clean, alive, and free from acts of addiction. Whew. This is overwhelming. I'm so grateful to be here. Oh, my God. This is so overwhelming for me. I thought there might be 10 people here. Oh, my God. I want to thank God. This one? Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to hear me later. I promise you that. I want to thank God, man, because thinking back on this past 18 months, the additional favor and mercy and grace that he has bestowed on me is just incredible. And he did for me just what I prayed for in my third step. He takes my will and my life, even without my permission. And I'm so grateful for that today. Secondly, I want to thank my area. Dulles Quarter, y'all here? Yeah. Oh, my God. I really don't know what I would have been able to do without you guys this past 18 months. You've been there, and you still continue to show up for me. I also want to thank my family, my friends, my loved ones, and my son. I want to thank the convention committee for asking me to come out and share my experiences and hope on this topic. And I somehow hope that I can be of service to the topic. Illness and recovery. First of all, let me just say I'm just having a wonderful convention. The workshops, the speakers, the main speaker last night, Brother Alvin. I mean, oh my God, everything is just incredible. I'm truly inspired from the messages I've heard. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to do this. I love you back. I've been having a number of spiritual awakenings this whole 18 months, more so than I ever had since I've been in this process. One of them I just had today. I came into this fellowship almost 11 years ago, and my sponsor at the time brought me here. I had like 6 months clean, and I was working on the third step. And I was trying to get to the understanding, but I had no clue about the application. And I came down here, and I seen all these beautiful, beautiful people down here. All the men and women had golds and chains, and the women had nails and hair all did up and everything. Big old booties, tight pants. All same shit we got going on now, right? And I just fell in love with everything and everybody. Superficially, though. But you know what? I was so caught up in what was going on, I almost missed the message, and I ran out of this fellowship, and I wanted to use. And I talked to my sponsor. I told him, man, I want to use. I must be doing something wrong. I'm not doing this third step right, because I still want to use. Because I felt so bad. I had dust in my pockets, right? I didn't have many changes of clothes.
Can you speak into the microphone a little bit? Back, just asking.
Right. I didn't have too many changes of clothes. I was just dirty. I still had the stench, if you will, of newcomer on me, as my sponsor tells me sometime about me. And I'm just so grateful that my sponsor at the time, he's sitting right there, and I never ever imagined I would be sitting up here, standing up here, carrying a message of recovery to anybody. So I'm incredibly grateful for that, John. Thank you, man. I love you for being there for me. And I always think about coincidence, but there's no coincidence here. Had an opportunity to bring a brand new sponsee down here with me. Matter of fact, a couple of new guys down here with me today. And in this room here today, I hope. Rodney, you in here? There he is. Yeah. I love you, man.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, man. Thank you for riding down here with me. And I'm able to give the same thing that was so freely given to me. You know, and I just thank you. I want to say also thank Just everybody who's been a part of my life this entire recovery process. Uh, I had a little uncomfortability initially about doing this workshop. I had a lot of confusion because I'm still in denial about my illness, you know, at some points. It's like, couldn't they have gotten somebody a little bit sicker than me? I mean, I'm not that bad. You know, I know a lot of people who got a lot worse issues than me, at least I think. But nevertheless, I'm grateful that I was asked. It really gave me an opportunity to look at my illness a lot more deeper than I had, and realize that you are sick, son. You got some issues going on, and you know you're not Superman. You need to come in and share the message of hope, the promise of freedom, and my own experience, so that it may be able to help somebody else. And this particular topic, illness and recovery, I never thought I would ever do this, because every time I came to this type of topic, you know, it was like the speaker was in a terminal position, and maybe like on their way out to the next plane. And I'm hoping that somebody's not seeing that in me, and that's why I got called. Hopefully there's no dark cloud over my head or hellfire in the background. Maybe wings or heavenly glow maybe, but you know, I'm just so glad to be here. And like I said, I was in a tremendous denial about what was going on with me. And it happened, what happened to me about 18 months ago, I was hanging out with my son, my teenage son, and I was writing some bills, checks, or whatever have you, and I saw something going on in my eye. I thought it was like a floater, but it turned out that it was something more than that, and I really, you know, like I said, God has been with me this whole process, and it was like, I hardly ever listened to my teenage son. Because he's always into something that I'm not about. You know, he's, what's that, internet surfing and networking and girls and condoms and all kinds of stuff. You know, yeah, son, come on, son. You get a job, you know, get a bank account, you know. But this day, I just happened to have ears to hear my son talk. And he said, Dad, you ought to get that checked out. And like I said, okay, son. And I went out and did that. And I found out that through a CAT scan that I had a tumor. And of course I was in denial about the whole thing, and like I said, a series of things have happened, and I really feel like I may be doing this injustice, because there's so many wonderful, miraculous, spiritual things that happened along this way. It's almost impossible to share them in the confines of this. Things like I happened to pick a random doctor, and that doctor had the same experience of a tumor. And she was able to comfort me beyond the professional mode and let me know what exactly I was going to go through, or what I possibly was going to go through. She was a general practitioner. I just did the yellow pages. And, you know, like I said, I started running and running and running. I was in denial, and I was like, you know, I finally went to a neurosurgeon, and I got a second opinion, a third opinion, a fourth opinion, a fifth opinion, because I want to go the easier, softer way. I don't want to accept the fact that I got this tumor thing going on. So finally, after about the fifth, maybe sixth opinion, you know, I finally said, okay. And what they were telling me are things like the memory loss, the blindness, the headaches. He told me that I had mood swings. He told me I would have all kinds of things happen to me that I wouldn't be able to explain. These are symptoms of what I have. And he said I would possibly have sexual dysfunction. And he also told me that the possibility of death was there. And as he held the waiver of liability in my hand, and I was about to sign it, I couldn't help but think, you know, I'm signing away my rights. He's talking about I may die. And the only thing I was thinking about, you know, what do you mean sexual dysfunction? I'm just telling you, that's where I was at. Anyway, after that, fear and denial set in, because, you know, they told me I had to get an operation, a craniotomy, and I don't want to get too technical about it. I'm going to try to explain it real easy and real quick. What I have, we got the brain has two lobes, actually has four lobes on each side, and in between the lobes, well, they're like, you know, if you can imagine this without getting too graphic, our brain looks like butt cheeks, right? We got two of them. Two butt cheeks. And in between the butt cheeks, just imagine the golf ball sticking in there. And that's what I have. It's called between my occipital lobes. And that affects my vision. And a lot of times, if it's near the temporal lobe, like it is, it also can affect other stuff. And see, the other stuff is like to be determined later. So a lot of stuff can happen. So this is dicey diagnosis going on. And I can be in a certain place at a certain time. But the most obvious effect that I have is my eyes. I have I just call it weird vision. I call it, what's that little game we used to play with the kaleidoscope vision? When there's a lot of movement, when there's a lot of people, you know, I tend to freak out and I tend to, oh my God, I can't see. And I lose my focus and concentration. Like I said, memory loss and so on and so forth. But anyway, I went into denial mode. And subsequently, when I went into denial mode, I went to all this great fear. And I would like to tell y'all that I was able to jump into my 11-step process like I would happen to be on. Like I said, it seemed like a whole lot of coincidences, but they weren't coincidences. It was God stepping in. I was on my 11th at the time. And I was like going through these things, and I never shared this with anybody, but what was going on, I was going through this 11-step process. I'm trying to get closer to God. And I was having these spiritual awakenings. I was having these out-of-body experiences. I was having these visual auras and ocular migraines. But at the time, I thought I was like really connecting with my God and my understanding. It's like we was like one. We was like boys. What was going on is that I was having seizures and migraines without the pain. And I found myself in a lot of positions. Some of y'all might remember I sought comfort on the floor. I'd always sit on the floor, and I would tend to rub the floor like I'd never been on the floor again. It was almost sounding like I was in active addiction. You know how we do on the floor, rubbing shit. I'm like, I was doing that. And on top of that, I was finding myself in the strangest places. You know, I would like think I'm in my bedroom and find out I'm in my bathroom or in the kitchen and stuff like that. And this kind of stuff was going on for a while. And I thought, you know, really, I thought I was in an 11-step process, but it started getting real spooky. You know, if you could imagine that old TV show, I Dream of Jeannie, she would blink at you somewhere over here, and you're like, oh, shit, how'd I get here? That kind of stuff was happening to me all the time. I didn't know how to tell anybody, and I started having hallucinations, which someone told me that I was having, and I was afraid to tell, because I didn't want people to think I was going crazy, but I was having hallucinations, and I still did. I didn't want anybody to know about that. Anyway, after the doctor told me about this stuff, I began to run. I was not loyal to my 11th step. I began to run. Irrational thoughts and behaviors. I thought that maybe if I just used a big old granddaddy hit, it was somehow like the chemicals would melt down and cause the tumor to degrade, right? Because it's sitting right there, on right in between there. And what's happening is there's a vein in there called the sagittal sinus vein, and that's your main vein to take all your blood out of your body. So you got your carotid pumping blood up here, but the deal is it's pumping in there, but it's real cut off. It's not easy to get out, right? So like if you can imagine a toilet with garbage in it, you flush the toilet and it don't go down. It go down real slow. That's what's happening with me. The other alternative is that it can overflow. Well, if it overflows, I'm a dead man. So basically, what happens to me, it just goes down real slow. So I've been advised not to engage in too many unhealthy activities or healthy activities like jogging, running, cardio exercising, dancing, sexual activities, vigorous sexual activities. Let me qualify that. So, and I've been obedient, sort of. Anyway, I started getting these weird fixations, thinking that maybe somehow if I can take this hit, it would be okay. And I didn't do that. But what I did, I started playing this self-sabotage. I wanted to find something that would somehow put some cut on my feelings, the issues that was going on. And I planned this self-destructive trip out to San Diego. I was going to fly into San Diego, and I was going to rent a vehicle and go down to Tijuana and fulfill some of my wildest sexual fantasies and stuff. You know, little Latino twins and with animals and all kinds of shit, you know. I was planning this one-way deal, right? I wasn't planning on coming back, but yet I bought a round-trip ticket, so I'm still here. Anyway, what happened was, once again, not a coincidence, because I would like to tell y'all that I did not take that trip, but I did. I took the trip. I didn't tell anybody, because I didn't want y'all to know how much self-pity I was having and how much fear I was having. Because after all, I'm in my 11-step process, right? Okay, I can't come in there sharing all this good shit and then catching, you know, telling y'all what's going on for real. But that's what was going on in my head. And like I said, God always show up without my permission. I took the trip and had every intention of doing these things. I wasn't there 3 hours. I was waiting for the sun to set. Because you know how we do. We like to do shit under the cover of darkness. Doing that 007 shit and just do our thing. And what happened was, somebody called me in the fellowship who I usually don't talk to. He was on this 11 step, and he wanted to get some inspiration about, you know, some sexual issues or lust issues and 11 step issues and stuff that he was going through. I went, damn. Oh, here I am. I'm in Southern California. He's in Virginia. He never called me before. Needless to say, we sat on the phone. We had a meeting for about an hour talking about the 11 step and all kinds of spiritual stuff. And quite frankly, I didn't have a need to go down into Tijuana after that for some reason or another. So I didn't fulfill that trip the way I wanted to. But like I said, God, because of my commitment, I think, to my third step process, he came and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And for some reason, after I took that trip, I came back here and I became okay. And I really did get into my 11th step because I saw God working, you know. And I allowed you all to embrace me in this thing, particularly my area. You guys were here with me 24/7 before my surgery, during the surgery, after the surgery. The network was like the Verizon commercial. You know what I'm saying? The little dude with the glasses running around, with all this group of people dropping out the rafters and stuff. Y'all, the network was there. Every time I turned around, there was a schedule at my house where people can come and visit and spend time. I'm talking 24/7, people showed up. I'm like, wow. I was incredibly moved by that. And, you know, the thing about it, we hear a lot of stuff in these rooms about how I love you, and we give the NA hug, and we keep it moving, whatever, and we show up at each other's anniversaries. But I got to tell you, and this is an experience that I never thought I would ever have. And I heard it first from one of my predecessors who since moved on, Bill T. He said he had become grateful that he had gotten sick as he had gotten, because he got a chance to actually see and feel how much love you all had for me. And I truly believe that because I experienced that day. And I just been, you know, it's been a road to recovery. Like I said, you guys been there. When I couldn't make it to a meeting, you guys brought meetings to me. Well, I could cook for myself, but you guys cook for me. My biological family would come down every now and then, you know, and they were like, who the hell are these people? Because they don't, people drop, you know, as a matter of fact, they say, who the hell are these white people? That's what they would say. Look, I'm from Baltimore. My mom and daddy, old school, they live in a very segregated area. You know, it just wasn't like that. Diversity is our strength, right? My network is extremely diverse. You know, and I'm so grateful that I know so many people in so many areas and who I get an opportunity to learn something from and also maybe able to give something to. This deal, this surgery, this whole thing, I'm like, who, what, why me? But the thing about it, in the end of the day, was like, wow, this is cool. Because like I said, I was on a self-destructive path. I wanted to do some shit. I didn't want to go through these feelings. I didn't want to do the damn thing. I wanted to act out. I wanted to hang out. And I know, because y'all laugh when I said, I know y'all have self-destructive thoughts like that at times when you feel like you're stuck. You want to do some shit. Sometimes we do some shit, and sometimes we don't make it back. Like I said, God had extra grace for me, because I was on my road to hell. Right? Anyway, I'm back here, get my surgery. Most of y'all tell me what happened, because I got memory loss here, and most of y'all tell me what occurred, but some of the things I remember, you know, getting up out of bed and walking around and dancing around and calling people and texting them and hours after surgery and inviting people to get in bed with me because they had me on these steroids and I was all sexual beasts, right? It's crazy, man. But, you know, I got, it was real crazy. I mean, that's another workshop for real. But you guys were with me and you guys took me to the meeting. I remember being so paranoid and so afraid. The very people who gave me so much love, because they told me that I will forget a lot of things. I took pictures of everybody who came to my house. It was like 100 people. I was so afraid I was going to forget you all. And when I finally got to a meeting, I remember going to a meeting, you guys trying to embrace me with love, and I began to recoil. I was afraid of you. The very people who brought me through this damn thing, I was afraid of, because I was going through some of the symptoms they were telling me about. Still trying to be in denial, but I kept coming back anyway, because y'all keep telling me to do that. I'm still doing that today, you know? I surrendered to this process. I surrendered by doing the same thing I was doing prior to the surgery. I keep showing up. I don't even, I mean, for real. I don't know. I went through several phases, denial, fear, anger, acceptance, and surrender. And I went through this shit and got on the other side of it, and I'm still doing what I was doing before. I mean, I ain't no special needs addict. You know, I'm just doing what, shit. This is what it's all about, right? Just showing up no matter what. I mean, at least that's what the people told me. I know people who had cancer, who got cancer, gone through chemo, hep C, HIV, all kind of shit. And I see y'all in the meeting every week. What makes me different? So guess what I do? Go to the meeting every week. Get on my sponsor's ass. Work a damn step. You got some work for me, Kevin? That's what we do. Because it's all about still staying here and doing the damn thing. Because guess what? Because when I leave this foundation, this is where I belong. I'm screwed royally. Now, I got to be honest. I knew I was supposed to, you know, at least do some studying a little bit about this topic. And I happened to run into this in times of illness. And I just read it a little bit. Actually, I read it, but basically, just to make this a clear message in Narcotics Anonymous, I just want to read one or two things out of here, and I'm going to pretty much shut it down. And this is what I've been going through. Coming to terms with illness is a process. It is a process in which we often experience denial, bargaining, anger, grief, surrender, and finally acceptance. However, it's comforting to realize that these stages are a normal part of this process. Acceptance of something does not necessarily mean that we like this shit. It don't say that piece, that we don't like it. We can dislike something and still accept it. I never had a concept about that before I came to Narcotics Anonymous. Matter of fact, I didn't even give myself the ability to dislike something because I was so busy making sure I like shit because I kept putting shit in me. It's amazing. I mean, look, out there in the field, I went 24/7. I didn't have a single problem. I never got sick. I don't ever remember missing a day using anybody. I mean, I come in here, I got all kinds of stuff going on. Out in the field, I'm running around doing this. I'm huffing, I'm puffing, I'm snorting, I'm sticking, I'm popping, I'm drinking, I'm doing all kinds of stuff. Nothing, no problem. Come in here, have foot problems, get knee injections, arthritis, high cholesterol, you know, nose surgery, ear surgery. I mean, damn. Some other stuff too. Then y'all told me to go get physicals and stuff, and I started doing that. And at the age of 40, they told me they wanted to do a different kind of physical and do all this kind of other weird stuff to me, which I wasn't really feeling. That's on my fourth step. I got some resentment there, man. But they told me to stay tuned to my network. They said, you're going to be all right. I've been obedient, man. My network told me you need to take care of yourself. I come in there, so I fall on the floor. Teeth falling out. See that? I can't get a break. I just stay clean and work a spiritual program. Shit just falling apart. They say, you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, when you turn 50, they really got some loving for you. The silver stallion, they call it. I Googled that too. I got a friend here who went through it herself recently. I ain't going to call her name, Susan. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just doing what y'all told me to do. You know, when I first got here, y'all just say, make meetings. Share where you at. The message of hope, the promise is freedom. You all bring that to me every time I show up to the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. And whether I think I'm listening or not, whether I fall asleep in the room, sometimes I do that too. I take something away from it. And, you know, where I'm at right now, in this minute, ongoing, I had a successful surgery. And what happened 2 months after that process, they found out that there were twins. So I'm sort of like back to square one, sort of better, but sort of worse. I still got the same type of issues going on. But you know what? I don't know. I don't feel any worse or where. I'm just showing up. I mean, this is what we do. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen today. I'm just here now. I'm right here at this podium, at the convention, sharing, having a good time with people, friends, people I haven't met, I mean, loved ones. And the bottom line is, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All I know is that I'm just going to be obedient to this process. I'm going to be obedient to my doctors. I'm going to be obedient to what I'm supposed to be obedient to. Except I didn't eat after I took my medicine. I need to do that right after I finish sharing. I really need to do that. But there's one other thing in the back of this book. It says, and like I said, this is nothing is by coincidence. Like suggestions to follow when faced with illness. Some of our members found this list helpful when we're impacted by illness. They go to many meetings as possible, which is, you know, that's what we do. Work closely with your sponsor. I call my sponsor all the time. Read NA literature. I'm reading it now. Reach out to NA members. I talk to people every day. Write about my feelings. Well, many of y'all seen my blog I just sent around. I do a 10-step inventory every day. Practice the 12 steps and 12 traditions. Well, that's shown in the way I live, so that's up to y'all to see that. Pray and meditate. I do that every day. Share my thoughts and feelings honestly. I'm doing the best I can right now. Identify yourself as a recovering addict to healthcare professionals, which I did. You know, because, you know, for real, I didn't want to do that because they had some pretty good-looking stuff up there they could have gave me. You know, but, you know, I let them know I was an addict. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist before taking counter drugs. I don't have that problem. Arrange for any members to be with you during or other medical treatment involving drugs. You all have been there. Like I said, like the Verizon Network. Honestly evaluate your condition and explore alternatives to medication. Well, I just started the back of medication again, which I really don't want to. And the last thing it says on here, continue on your path of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. I never stopped. We don't stop. We don't stop. This is a life thing. I'm standing here because we don't stop. So ongoing, I go back to the doctor because what happened to me a couple 4 weeks ago, I celebrated a year, and they told me if I was okay during that year, I would be okay. It's a good chance I'd be all right. When I'm not okay, my seizures have turned into higher forms of seizures. Grand mal seizure was the first one that's very unusual. So I went to several specialists once again, and I began to ask this team of high-ranking specialists. I got some world-renowned, I got some really good medical benefits. I got these world-renowned Hopkins folks taking care of me, directors, and they go places, travel, and give lectures and briefings. I'm sitting there talking to this team of people, and I'm telling them, I'm just asking them simple questions. I said, look, can you just tell me, what is going on with me? I have the most difficult time because I don't know. Why is this happening to me? Why do I feel this way? Why do I seem like I'm having out-of-body experiences when I'm right here? Why can't I get comfortable in my own skin? Why do I have that I can't see some things, and other times I can see everything? Why can't I remember somebody's name I've been knowing for 15 years, right? But can remember like a thesis paper I wrote in college 30 years ago. What the hell's wrong? What the hell's wrong with your libido, son? You know, talk to me. I want answers. I want to be able to tell you guys exactly what's wrong with me when you ask me. Not because of me, but because y'all have so much love for me. Because y'all care about me, and you guys want to know what's going on like I do. And all they can tell me is, Mr. Simmons, we can treat the symptoms, but we don't know. It's the brain. Anything can happen. And I'm susceptible to anything. Like I said, it's a very dicey thing. Like I said, most days I'm good, but some days I'm down. And for the individual, like I said, God does what he does when he want to do what he does. I shared about this a year or so ago in a meeting, and another brother in the fellowship came afflicted with the same thing. And he sought me out. It's a weird thing. This don't happen to everybody. It don't happen every day. How could it be this particular person being in this meeting, I'm sharing about my illness, and he gets it? I am so grateful that I've been able to use what I thought was going to be a self-destructive mission to be something helpful. What I thought was going to be my end is really opening my eyes to other things, giving other people encouragement and strength and faith. Newcomers in my process. Children were in my process. Newcomers came in and gave them a sense of self-worth and a sense of self-respect. They haven't felt that way about themselves for a long time. Some of those newcomers have celebrated years clean now. And part of my network. Right? All because somebody said, okay, let him come. Let him come. Let him show up. Anyway, I don't know. Bottom line, I'm here. The reality is, what happened to me don't have to happen to the brother who reached out to me. This is my experience. He may not have to go on meds. He may never have a seizure. But if he do, he know he got somebody he can talk to. Maybe God did it for that reason. I don't know. I'm just trying to be here and do God's will. Show up every day. Anyway, with that, I'm going to shut it down. And I'm going to eat my lunch. And I'm going to enjoy the rest of the convention. And look, check this out. I'll be here next year, God willing. I love you.
Our next speaker is Leon H. from East of the River. I give you Leon. Give me a hug.
Leon, the addict.
Hey, Leon.
I know it's only but for God's grace and his mercy that I'm here with the help of the people in these rooms. You know, I ain't have an issue with this topic, you know, because I'm one of them type guys, you know, when I get something like this, you know, I look at it and I say it to myself, I say, well, this the whole program. Everybody in here suffering from an illness, right? That's our disease we call it, it's an illness. Yeah, so we all should be in here, you know, but I know they talking about Pacifics, right? You know, they talking about Pacifics, they talking about, you know, those that know me know both of my kidneys shut down last year, and I'm on dialysis now. And, you know, I know it's only but for God's grace and his mercy. And my program today teaches me that, you know, I need to understand instead of being understood. And that was just what today was talking about. I understand, you know. And truly today I understand, you know, with, you know, 24 years and 7 months in this process, right? Uninterrupted. You know, this program really teaches us a lot. You know, it's a lot of stuff that, like our literature tells us, you know, this thing comes slowly over a period of time, right? You know, so, you know, we come here new and we feel like, you know, after we get a few months clean, you know, we really feel like we can take on the world, you know. And we ready, we excited, you know, we encouraged to do what it is we need to do. And, you know, the program that I practice today takes me a lot of places, right? You know, through God's grace, you know, with this issue that's going on with me, you know, I was able to, I didn't want to, but I retired from a job in December, you know. It was a recovery job. You know, I worked the job for 23 years, you know, and I didn't want to retire, you know, but I could and I did. And, you know, right now, it's like I'm really getting in touch with some things. I'm getting real at peace with myself, with my family, my wife, my kids, and everything, you know, because I work 24-7, you know, because I was one of them guys when I got married. It was like, you know, I got to go to work, You know, I got to take care of my family, and that's what I did. You know, and I missed some things. You know, my wife lets me know today, you know, that I missed some things. And I'm working on them things that I miss. You know, and it's only through His grace that what's going on with me today, I know that it happened when it was supposed to happen, because if it had happened some years ago, I might not have been in the space to really deal with it like I'm dealing with it now. And what I'm doing with this process is I'm practicing the program, you know. And it, like I said, you know, I go to meetings, you know, the people that is in my network showed up. The people that wasn't in my network showed up, and they became a part of my network. They showed up, you know, when I was in the hospital, the nurses was like, man, you real popular. You know, you got visitors, you know, and it was like, you know, the room be packed. You know, people standing all over the place, you know, and you know, that was the joy, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when you got time up in this program, you know, you really feel like people shun you because they don't really know what to tell you sometimes. They think you got all the information to run yourself, right? And that's not true. So that I got it, that I'm getting in touch with this process, you know, and I'm going to talk about recovery pretty much, you know, because that's what it's about. It's about how you got it and what you're going to do with it, you know. So here I go, right, you know, and you know, it really, I looked at it as a cold case, right? You know, watch that program on TV, cold case. You know, they got all the evidence and the information, but they haven't got the culprits yet, right? And that's pretty much what this program really teaches us, you know. This thing that we're dealing with is a cold case, right? You know, so that I came to this program and I started working and getting involved with some things that I really didn't understand about myself, right? Because, see, I was blaming everything outside of me, and I thought all the evidence pointed to you, right? So after starting doing some work through the guys of my sponsor, you know, and doing some step work and getting involved and getting in tune with some things, you know, now I begin to understand, you know, and I always share this lately, you know, after my 20th year anniversary, I begin to really see that the program really began to start making sense to me, right? And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that the program wasn't working. I'm talking about I begin to really get in touch with it was you, Leon. It's you that you need to get in touch with. Not everything else, you know, not trying to, you know, coerce other people into doing what you think they should be doing, because I always would say, you know, if my wife would just listen to me, right, everything would be all right, you know. And I believe that, you know. So as I worked that way, you know, I started having problems, you know, because I wasn't able to really see what it was that I needed to see. Now let's talk about the disease, right? We talk about, and I you know, I got some notes up here in the notes, because I don't know, I might have to get that thing checked too, because I don't remember a lot of time. You know, I'm real early on recovery. I could quote the page with line and all that, you know, but I got to write some stuff down now, you know. So I'm going to be going in and out of this too, because I looked up all these words that I looked up that refer to our disease, right? You know, and compulsion, right? It says the action of complying or the state of being compelled, an irresistible urge to behave in a certain way. Now, if I know that that's what compulsion is, then I may stop doing what it is that I'm doing. Because, see, I don't understand a lot of time, you know, because when you compel, right, to do something, because compel says force or obligate to do something, bring about by force or pressure, compelling, powerfully evoking attention or admiration, you know. And then it go on, you know, look it up, you know, when you get home, you know, because that's what my sponsor did with us. They told us to get the book and get a dictionary, you know, get a good one, you know. Because, see, you be talking about stuff, you think you know what it mean, and then when you read it, and you say, dang, I thought it meant something else, you know. So to be compelled means to be forced. Now, I'm going to go down here with another word that it took me to, and this was deep for me, because it really helped me to really begin to see when my disease kind of like really kicked in full force. You know, I was riding my bike, selling nickel bags of weed, right, back in the early 70s, right? And the older guys was going down the street in the alley, and they was going to shoot some bam, right? You know, and I was riding my bike, I was riding behind. Now, check this word out here, right? It's intrude. It says, introduce into or enter with adverse effect. Geology says that, literally that says, comes into a place or situation where one is unwelcome or uninvited, right? And geology says, of enormous rock, it says, be forced or thrust into a pre-existing formation. Now, what did I do when I started shooting dope? I intruded into something. I crossed the line, right? I crossed the line. Now, I'm beginning to understand why I'm so caught up, right? Because I crossed the line that I did not understand that I crossed. You know, like our program tells us, we're not responsible for our addiction, but we are responsible for our recovery. So I want to understand so that I know now that I intruded, I crossed the line. You know, it's boundaries set out there for us, but we cross the line. And a lot of times we don't even know we cross the line because we slip into the progression, you know, of something. You know, we didn't set out to say I was going to start shooting dope, smoking crack, or doing what I was doing and be this way, you know. And now being compelled, meaning I was forced. I was forced into it because what I was doing when I was using, I didn't know that it called me to attention to focus on what it do, right? It subtracts. It ain't giving you nothing. But see, the denial and the delusion, right, that this disease gives us tells us that it's going to be all right, right? You know, I'm going to be all right. You know, I remember an old guy telling me in D.C. on 15th and Independence Avenue, he said, look, young, you don't want to get into this. You know, he said, but basically what he was telling me was that he didn't know how to get out of it, but he knew enough to tell me that I didn't want to get you don't want to get in it. You know, so I understand that today. So being where I'm at now, you know, with this disease, my kidney failure, you know, they put this thing in my arm, you know, they fused some of my veins together pretty much, right? And I got some veins now. You know, because this thing is growing, right? And I got branches that's growing. I'm like, man, when I got here, I didn't have none, right? So check this out. I was getting my treatment week before last, right? And I was watching the tech. These some big needles they be sticking in my arm, right? And when she stuck one in, and, you know, that thing struck red, right? For those of us that shot dope know what I'm talking about, right? And it just gushed into the thing, right? And I was looking at it, right? And she said, what's wrong? I said, you don't want to know. So I turned my head, right? And I was like, and I, you know, it just caught me, just captivated me that time, right? And I got in touch with it, you know, see, because my disease is telling me, you know, you've been doing this thing for 24 and a half years, man. You know, why you keep going to them meetings? You know, see, you know, my disease still talk to me. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with people may assume that because people have time in this process that they don't struggle with these issues. You know, yes, we do. We struggle. And then and the joy in this thing is that we've been around long enough to tell you how to get through something. You know, we've been around long enough to say, look, this is how it's manifesting itself in my life today. You know, this program is really changing my view and my vision on a whole lot of issues that I, you know, when you get in here, you probably think you all right because you ain't shooting dope or smoking crack or whatever you do no more. So you figure that, you know, all that other stuff that they talk about, you know, it's funny how we create these barriers in recovery, right? You know, people don't like people to talk about, come out the book. You know, people want you, when you share, you know, they want you to share your experience with hope and not understanding that when you read this literature, when you work in the steps, when you exercise the tradition, you know, because see, in our second step in the green and gold, right, the second step says that we're going through a fundamental transformation. What it's talking about? It's talking about right now. You know, talk about your right now experience. See, I've been around. I ain't condemning nothing about what nobody shared, you know, but it seems like we get caught and stuck in talking about that shit that we've been through. Now, if I've been in here 24 and a half years, right, and I'm talking about the dope that I shot, you know, my conversation about what I did has done changed a whole lot. So some of that shit might be a little yeast up now, you know, because you want to get a more, you say it's a more clear message. right? But you tell the truth. You see what I'm saying? You know, and I got a good friend, I always say, started at the bottom and stayed at the bottom. You know, and then some of us, you know, I was an addict that I seen tables full of money and all that, but it was only for a short while, right? It was only for a short while. There wasn't no long tenure and all that type stuff. Yeah, for a short while, you know. And I hit bottom as soon as I started, you know. I was selling my clothes and everything, you know, because that's how that thing carried me. You know, it wasn't about a whole lot of this and that, you know. And I really get in touch with today, you know, because see, when I understand that when we come in here, I don't think it's, you know, we do it. You know, I'm just saying, as my understanding, I'm kind of cleared up a lot over the years. You know, I think that a newcomer want to know how to live. You know, we think that our literature says we need to identify. Yes, I don't already say it. I told you I shot dope. Now I don't have to get all into, you know, what street and what time, and I did this to that person, and I did that to that person, and you know, I done did this, been there, done that, and all that other nonsense, and never really get to the hope. See, when you come in here whipped from the disease of addiction, you want to see the hope. You know, you want to see the hope that this program is giving people. Because, you know, when you come in, you don't believe nobody been clean 24 and a half years. You know, you can't even consume that. You know, you be like, they lying. You know, you probably ain't been clean but a week. You know what I'm saying? You know, but to come in here and to really get involved and really begin to see, you know, because see, this program, really is a transformation, man, that is far, far beyond what your wildest dream is. If you're new here, you know, I suggest that you give yourself a chance. You know, I was talking to a newcomer last night. She had 24 hours, and I said, that's where it all started. You know, it started right there. You know, you ain't going to come in here and get a week. You know, because I remember when I first got here, I wanted to hurry up and raise my hand for a year. You know, when I got here, they was giving out chips. You know, wasn't no key tags. And you know, I wanted to hurry up. You know, I went through the process of sharing about step work and ain't done nothing. You know, to get with nitwit. You know, I wanted to sound like so and so, do what every day. Every day, I need to stay focused. See, when I wake up, you know, my third step is a right now step. You know, we talk about doing step work. You know, I did step work with my sponsor, and you know, but, you know, once you get the understanding or some clarity, right, then this is how you going to live, brother. You know, sister, how you going to do this thing? How you going to go out after what it is you need to go out after and be involved in this thing? Because, see, let me share this, right? It says, I got one other word, you know, it's obsessive. We call it obsession. But in the dictionary, it starts out with obsess. It says, preoccupied continually or to a troubling extent. Obsession, an idea or thought that obsesses someone, right? Don't we always talk about compulsion and obsession? You know, and why we go through it? And then it goes down and it talks about obsessing and compulsion. That's one understanding in the dictionary, right? This is psychiatry denoted or related to a disorder in which a person feels compelled to perform certain actions repeatedly to alleviate resistance, fears, or intrusive thoughts. Right? I can't get out. I'm stuck. Now, I didn't know I was compelled to do what I was doing when I was using. I didn't know that. Right? I didn't know that, you know, the obsessive compulsive behavior that the disease gives you. You know, you be saying, why? Why am I stuck? See, now that I got this information, I know when I'm stuck, I can tell you, look, I'm stuck. You know, that's why, you know, Doreen used to say, you know, once I share my story with you, you can't beat me up with it no more. You know, you can't come at me and say, well, you know what you said. Nah, I'm sharing that. So I can get help. You know, I'm identifying that, you know, yeah, I got problems. You know, being in here for 24 and a half years, you know, I'm just getting some real clarity, right? You know, when our program talks about scratching the surface, you know, you're going to be scratching the surface for some years, you know. And I'm still scratching the surface because You know, my using, man, my whole perception of life was warped and twisted, you know. Now I'm getting to get some clarity on, you know, they say keep coming back, keep doing what it is you need to do, you know, and more will be revealed. And that's what's happening. More is being revealed because now I want to get more closer to the way it was, you know, or not the way it was, but the way it should be, you know, because the God that I serve, you know, he lets me know that, you know, it's no you without me, you know. So I have to do what it is that I have to do, you know. And we got so many different variables and opinions and understandings about this program and what it should be. For me, it's a whole different picture, you know. It ain't all about all that old jury shit that we, you know, like to talk about. You know, I haven't forgotten nothing that went on with me because I'm clear that when they stuck that needle in my arm with the dialysis, right, and I saw that blood shoot out like that, you know, it just released, it ain't released my addiction all over again, but it released my perception of the disease of addiction, you know, and it was telling me, you know, you all right now, you don't have to wait, you don't have to find a vein, you know, it's ready for you, you know, it's ready, it's right there, you know, and the struggle with the illness part in this thing is that, you know, I got to stay focused, man. You know, I went out to eat yesterday and, you know, a couple of my friends, you know, they was like, you know, they was looking at my wife and kids when I started to order, right? And they was just saying, I see them. They looking at you to see if you going to order the right thing, you know. And I told them I felt it. I felt their eyes looking at me, right? And that's a good thing. See, you can see my arrogance, right? Because see, you know, when we begin to understand, right, the disease talks about defiance and all that, you know. And it's another word, then I'm through with the words, you know. And it says persist. Continue firmly or obstinately in an opinion or a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Persistent, remaining attached instead of falling off the in the normal manner, right? You know, and what I got out of that, right, is basically what it was saying to me was that, you know, if you was shooting dope or doing what you was doing and you saw it was a problem, you couldn't stop, you know. But it was saying basically that you should be able to stop in a normal manner, right? Because, you know, I've been around people that have shot dope and said, man, I don't want no more. In a normal manner, they just went on their way. They say, Spud, I'm not messing with you no more. You know, I can't do this no more with you. You know, and they tried it and they went on about their business, you know, to see me no more, right? So that was falling off in a normal manner, right? You know, that you try something and you don't like it. Now, if we don't like something, because I hit the pipe, not crack, but when they were freebasing, I did that once. And it kept saying more, right? And I said, no more. You know, I went and got some dope. I came down. I said, no more. I don't like that. I don't want that. No more. You know, so that was one of the normal manners, right? But I went back to the other thing that I couldn't cut off, right? So this is kind of like for me to help identify, because really our disease is a cold case, right? This program will give you all the tools that you need to crack that case. You know, so what I'm learning now is I'm learning how to crack that case, you know, and that's the hope that this program is giving me, you know, to really deal with, you know, both of my kidneys failing. Now, I went through the depression. I still go through it. I have my days with it, right, because I want to get up and go. You know, I like going to conventions. I like going out of town and stuff like that, and I can't just jump up, you know. But today, I supposed to be on the machine. I didn't come, but my number's been so good, they told me, look, if you get sick, just go to the emergency room, right? But all my blood work and everything is, you know, it's top notch. You know, one of the doctors told me, said, man, your blood pressure better than mine. I don't even feel like I'm qualified to talk to you right now, you know. See, but my disease will tell me, you know what, buddy, you all right. Way down there to the store and get you a pound of them shrimp, you know, and some good dipping sauce, you know. See, and see what I've learned in here, right, is that Even though when I start feeling better, that don't mean that I can do what I want to do. Because that's pretty much why I'm in the shape that I'm in now. You know, I was in denial about, they had told me long before. You know, my mother passed in December 07, and that was my buddy, you know. And she lived with me and my family for like 4 years. You know, she had some strokes and a whole lot of medical issues, right? And when she passed, I kind of like, I really shut down and I didn't understand, you know, because the doctors had told me that my kidneys was going bad, you know. And I, you know, didn't really get a good grasp on what I needed to stop eating, right? You know, so I continued on doing my thing. You know, I thought I was doing pretty good. They talk about the calories and all that, but a lot of times now they're starting to talk more about the sodium, right? I stopped eating lunch meat and all that, you know, because I figured that, you know, the turkey meat is good, right? So I put 4 or 5 slices on the sandwich, right? The doctor say, look at the sodium in one slice, right? And I was like, man, I just ate 2 sandwiches with 10 pieces of turkey meat, you know? And I was like, oh man, that's what was causing me the harm, you know? But I didn't know it. So right now, I'm on a good roll. I stopped eating a lot of stuff. I'm doing what it is they tell me to do. You know, I feel better. I feel pretty good. My weight coming down, you know, and I just want to keep doing the right thing. I don't want to slip. But see, in this program, you know, we come into consciousness, right, and then we go into unconsciousness, you know. See, once you get a little glimpse of self, you know, you think you got it, and then you slip right back into the darkness, you know. And I did that for many years, off and on, right? Get conscious of something, then get unconscious. You know, get conscious, get unconscious. Right now, just for today, I want to stay conscious. You know, I want, when God wake me up in the morning, I want to stay conscious, you know, and go about the day understanding that if I got to work on my anger today, that's what I want to do. You know, I'm going to share this and shut it up. You know, I got the car. You know, a couple of weeks ago, me and my son was in the car, right, and, you know, road rage, right? Young, trying to get past me, you know. You know. So I'm like, go ahead, you know. But I had a look on my face, right? Like, you know, go ahead. But I guess he looked at me. He got past me, turned around, looked cussing and everything, and say, man, pull over. Pull over. You know, and I was like, man, go ahead, man. You know, we still going down the highway. And he all up beside me. Pull over. Pull over. And I was like, the light caught him, so he pulled up beside me, steady talking, right? And I was waiting for when the light changed, you know what I did. I pulled over, you know. But I pulled over in the 7-Eleven lot, right? You know, and I got out of the car, right? Because I was pissed now, you know. You know, because, I mean, you know, anger make you metamorphosize, right? It'll have you turn into the Incredible Hulk, right? You know what I'm saying? You get to think you can do some things that you ain't done in a long time. You know, and I got out of the car, right, and the dude looked, he got out of his car, he started walking towards me. I guess he looked, and he said, he sized me up, right? He probably said, well, he stopped in his footprint. He said, wait a minute, maybe I ain't trying to go too close. You know, the dude looked like he might go a little bit, you know. So he steady mouthing, and I'm just looking at him, waiting, you know, seeing, you know, you going to make a move. And he turned around, walked, got back in his car, right? So when I got in the car, I told my son, I said, he didn't want to do nothing, did he? He said, nah, Dad. You know? But after that, I felt bad, you know, because my program kicked in, right? Because I knew could have had a pistol, right? I mean, because that's what they're doing now. You know, they ain't fighting. They, you know, they pulling it, you know, they popping and everything. And I was like, you know, I felt so bad about what I did, you know, because see, now I'm trying to be more conscious of my anger, because I could have went on about my business. That shit wasn't about nothing, you know. So what? Let him bark like a dog, you know. Go ahead, keep barking. I'm just going to go on about my business, you know. But today, I say, you know, I want to be more conscious to practice on my anger, you know, when I see it kicking up, you know. See, I don't know about driving now. It's like, damn, you know, you can get angry, you know, at the drop of a hat. You could be peaceful as shit riding down the street, you know, all your positive thoughts going, and then bam. You know, next thing you know, you hollering all out the window like a wild animal yourself. You know. But look, if you're new here, I ask you to stay here, give yourself a chance. You know, this program does work in spite of what you may think about it, you know, and it only works if you want to work it. So give yourself a chance. I thank the Rock Creek area for asking me to share on this topic, you know, and I continue to keep coming back. Thank you.
Great chair. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Okay.